For many of Jehovah is the word not passed, from prophecy admitted to disgrace at last. That's Micah chapter 2, verse 6. And that was our daily scripture for today, little children. And it's from the Ward Green version of 2003. That entire passage, Micah 2, verse 4 through 6, the part that would be the quotation there is, we could summarize it right now by reading it. It says, robbed of our lot, yes, robbed are we. My people have been smattered and my ground set free. To heathens has he given what was meant to be. The boundary of my people is removed from me. The lot isn't measured and the cord not cast. Assembled of Jehovah from the word, do fast. For many of Jehovah is the word not passed, from prophecy admitted to disgrace at last. End quote. The Ward Green version, 2003. And that was our daily scripture, the portion at the end, which was from Micah 2:6, which in the American Standard Version reads, prophesy ye not, thus they prophesy, they shall not prophesy to these, reproaches shall not depart. Now, returning to our article, the most exciting article that I can remember, although there have been so many exciting articles with regard to Joseph, the patriarch. And here we saw yesterday in the account from Zechariah Sitchin, the great linguist and biblical scholar, who told the story of Joseph being more than 100 years old, who converted a dry, barren region into a fertile area in just 1,000 days, or approximately 3 years, which would mean he would be about 103 when he finished that work. Remarkably consistent with another aspect of this is the name of the lake created by this canal that is known as Joseph's Canal, and that we covered when we read the Crucible article, which we should look at here, just briefly here, right here, I think it is. Yeah. In the Crucible article, chapter 8, in paragraph 2, we said Pharaoh Sesostris II initiated irrigation development from the Nile to the Fayum oasis of Egypt, his greatest feat. But he's the one, that is Sesostris II, whom we identified as being Joseph. And he succeeded Amenemhet II, who was the Pharaoh who raised Joseph out from the prison and appointed him. In our chronology, he was the Pharaoh who appointed Joseph in 1923 BCE. And therefore, since his successor was Sesostris II, that would be, and this would be a totally different thing from the time of the famine. This is some years after the famine. But Joseph would be the one appointed then to be the Pharaoh in succession, as the successor to Amenemhet II, if we've identified this Pharaoh correctly as Joseph. Now, the thing that's important here to note is that Sesostris II was succeeded by Sesostris III, and the Egyptians, they were never named after their father. They were always named after their grandfather, but in this case, there was an exception. Sesostris III succeeded Sesostris II, and he was the one whom we identify as Ephraim, a very large, strong man who ruled until, and we see the illustration from the article Phoenix that shows the end of the reign of Sesostris III, who is also called Senusret III, the one whom we identify as the son of Joseph. He died, according to these different authorities, Malik, von Beckerath, Redford, Piccioni, Grimal, Arnold, Dodson, Frankie, and Egypt site. There were 9 opinions graphed here. And the year 1843, which is the death of Joseph in our chronology, is very close to the end of the reign of this pharaoh, according to 5 of those 9 authorities, which are grouped between 1843 and 1840. The average of all 9 is about 1839 BCE, but Joseph dies in 1843 because he lived to be 110 years old, born in 1953, as we said, or 1954, late in that year BCE. 110 years later would be 1843, not 1853, which is the time when Joseph was 100 years old. So the 100-year birthday of Joseph was about 1853 here, which is also the end of the reign of Senusret III, according to one of these 9 authorities. But the interesting thing also is that there was an overlap between the reign of Senusret III and his successor, Amenemhat III, which many people, or at least it was said in Wikipedia, I just looked it up, it's right here, the overlap between the reign of Amenemhat III, who succeeded Senusret III, and his predecessor, Senusret III, the overlap was 20 years. They shared the throne for 20 years, and since Senusret III's reign ended, according to Wikipedia, in the year, well, you'll have to go back to see it, but they currently have it listed as, right here, 1839, the end of his reign. 1878 being year one, which is based on a rising of the star Sothis in the year 1872, is year 7. That's how that came about, that we know very accurately when Senusret III ruled, from the record of the rising of Sothis in his year 7. But 1839, the end of his reign, that's what we're interested in. But this is, of course, something we just showed in the graph, is under debate. The exact length of his reign is not known. But if it's 1839, right here, it's the average of all these 9 experts, it was 1839, for the end of his reign, but there was a 20-year overlap. So that means 1859, right here, which is the end of his reign, according to one of the experts of these 9 that we gave here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right. That 1859 would be the beginning of the reign of Amenemhat III. And it was his lake, that Lake Moeris, which was his namesake lake. It was named after him. The Lake Moeris was named after one of his names in his group of names, which the Egyptian pharaohs have. They have many different names. So we go back to Amenemhat III. What was his name? Let's see if we can see here what they gave as his name. There he is. There are several of his names, one of which is Moeris, that's given there in Wikipedia for the name of Amenemhat III. So Lake Moeris is named after him, and Lake Moeris is the lake that's fed by this canal that was built by Senusret II, and it's also called Joseph's Canal, as we discussed at great length, according to the expert Francis Cope Whitehouse, and also as we described in our article the crucible of credible creed here in chapter 8. There's a lot of information about that. And he says here that it is obvious, Mr. Francis Cope Whitehouse says, that Joseph's Canal is as old as Lake Moeris. It's obvious because, of course, Lake Moeris only existed because of the canal. So he built it during the time of the reign of his older son, Manasseh, who was also called Moeris, and who was called Amenemhet III, and who ruled after Joseph's younger son, Ephraim, who was called Senusret III. And this is an amazing discovery that is part of the genealogy. So the seven loaves of Horus correspond to the 7 years of plenty in Egypt. As we continue our reading now in the article Joseph and On, which is paragraph 31. The 7 years of plenty in Egypt, which preceded the famine there, Joseph traveling the land in his chariot to supervise the storage of the harvest, which explains the pitchfork as the symbol of Poseidon. When Jesus feeds the multitude with seven loaves, remember in the New Testament, we looked that up yesterday, he thus repeats at a later date what Joseph did. When we identify Horus as Joseph in the case of the story of the seven loaves of Horus, right? But we're also identifying Joseph as Osiris, the father of Horus, because mythology doesn't ever align exactly with the chronology, so he could be the father or the son, or it's a story of these loaves of Horus, but the exact origin of the story and how it may have changed over the years, we're not too concerned with. Osiris, in the legend of Osiris, speaks of a future day when he says, quote, "On that day, the day of awakening, all the tombs shall open, and the just dead shall live again as we do, and all sorrow shall pass away forever." That's a quote from Osiris, and the legend of Osiris is the name of the work. This is all the more remarkable as Jesus says that John, chapter 5, verse 28, quote, "Do not marvel at this, because the hour is coming in which all those in the memorial tombs will hear his voice and come out," end quote. Talking about the voice of Jehovah, of course, his father, the Almighty Creator. Now, we have an illustration here showing a pitchfork, or what looks like the particular trident of Poseidon, on the flag of Barbados. And we noted that that also resembles a pitchfork. Continuing to read, Poseidon as earth mover, the god Poseidon, may now clearly be seen as Joseph, a great champion of water and earth, the sea of Joseph still, a witness in Egypt today to his construction of a massive lake and river system in the desert of that land. Of course, it was called Lake Moeris after the pharaoh Amenemhet III, and it was fed by the canal known as Joseph's Canal. Something which evidently entailed the movement of immensely vast amounts of earth, requiring the wisdom that only Jehovah could provide. But even though one believes this to be the only reasonable explanation of the mythology of Poseidon, one may fairly ask, quote, if Joseph is Poseidon, then is it not necessary that those family relationships of Joseph's be correlated with those of Poseidon, such that we can identify, for example, father for father, mother for mother, brother for brother, etc.? End quote. Yes, in the next four paragraphs, may we examine some of the family relationships of both Joseph and Poseidon. Doing this with an open mind, with the intention of learning whether it is true, is Joseph Poseidon? And that's one of the most exciting things about this article, are these next four paragraphs. So we're looking at this section that we're coming up to, was begun with paragraph 31 there, and then 32 would be the quote from Jesus. 33 is the Poseidon, and 34 the yes paragraph. So we're at paragraph 35 now, with an illustration of the Great Sphinx at Giza. Just the face of the Sphinx, in this case, is the only part that we see as portrayed by the photograph in a somewhat profile view. You see the nose has been broken off, as was often true. We don't know which pharaoh is represented by the Sphinx necessarily here. The father of Joseph is Jacob. Let's continue reading. The father of Joseph is Jacob, who was a herder of livestock. Jacob was a shepherd who worked for Laban in Haran and who moved to Egypt in the northern Nile Delta region. Right? We talked about Jacob moving to Egypt in 1914 BCE, which is 9 years after Joseph was appointed in 1923 BCE as second in command of all of Egypt. So in 1914, Jacob moved to Egypt in the northern Nile Delta region known as Goshen, an area of rich soil and water. Poseidon's father, on the other hand, is the Titan Cronus, the god of farming, identified in some earlier article, Balder, as the one called Israel. I looked that article up. And then after I looked it up, I was looking for something. Let's go there now. Let's see. Okay, let's go to Balder and click on it. And let's look up Cronus. Here he is. Right. For Cronus or Saturn, says Saturniason, comma, whom the Phoenicians call Israel. There we have it. Cronus spelt with a K in that case, but he's also called Saturn. That would be the Roman version of the name of the Greek god Cronus. Whom the Phoenicians call Israel, says the Phoenician historian Saturniason. That being from Cory's Ancient Fragments of the Phoenician, Carthaginian, Babylonian, Egyptian, and Other Authors, by E. Richmond Hodges, page 21. Quoted by Hoh, H-O-E-H, is his name, in the Compendium of World History. And he's quoting Eusebius, who, as we are faithful, preserved some fragments of the work of Saturniason in his work, Preparation of the Gospel. And Philo of Byblos, who lived about 100 years after the turn of the Common Era, is, according to the Throne of God, the sole source. That's a work called the Throne of God. It's incredible, all these different sources that were linked together there, because that's why we're not so sure whether Saturniason really is well attested, because of all these complexities here. But this Philo of Byblos is, according to the throne of God, the sole source of information about the Phoenician historian, Sanchoniathon. So there's not a lot of information about Sanchoniathon. But he said Cronus was Israel. Okay? That's where we got it from. That's remarkable. If Cronus is Israel, we've got Jacob as Cronus, because Israel was the name given by God to Jacob after he fought with the angel. He became Israel, the one who contends with God. Balder as the one called Israel, we saw in the article Balder, right? Cronus was the one called Israel, according to the historian Sanchoniathon. Many may be inclined to dismiss Sanchoniathon as poorly attested, but the farming actually is a perfect correspondence, because Cronus is the god of farming, right? Especially considering that Jacob's son Joseph saved Egypt from a famine by storing grain. We have good reason to believe this connection then between Cronus and Jacob. I believe this alone ought to convince any reasonable person. But may we consider that Joseph's mother and wife of Jacob is Rachel? Joseph's mother, Rachel, was the wife of Jacob. So who is Poseidon's mother, wife of Cronus? In Greek mythology, if Cronus and Jacob are the same person, who is the wife then of Poseidon? Or of his mother, rather. Or who is his mother, the wife of Cronus, is what I really meant to say. Who is Poseidon's mother, the wife of Cronus, right? Who is the corresponding person to Rachel? Who's the wife of Cronus? That would be Poseidon's mother, because Poseidon is Joseph, is what we're investigating here. Well, the wife of Cronus is called Rhea, R-H-E-A, a name which uses four letters of the six letters in Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L and R-H-E-A. Four of the six letters of Rachel are used to make the name Rhea, and three of the four letters in Leah, the name of Jacob's other wife, L-E-A-H and R-H-E-A. Three of those four letters, the E, the A, and the H, are also found in the name Leah. So the name Rhea contains similarities to both the names Rachel and Leah, which were the names of the two wives of Jacob. So Cronus, the god of grain and crops, seen as holding a sickle. Now, a sickle is a blade, curved blade, for cutting the crops, is identical, Cronus is, with Jacob, the father of Joseph. Right? The names of their wives correspond. And the sickle further confirms it, as sickles are associated with Scythians. Even the names Scythian and sickle, right? They sound similar. Now, Scythians are commonly held to be descendants of Isaac. And who is Isaac? He's the father of Jacob. So the sickle, even of Cronus, corresponds to the Scythian, which corresponds to Isaac, the father of Jacob. So how much more correspondence do we expect? Isaac's the grandfather of Joseph, but who is Poseidon's grandfather? It is Uranus, or Uranus, known in Greek as Uranos, the Greek word for sky. That's the Greek word for sky, Uranos. And sky, in brackets here, contains an unique letter combination such as found only in the name Isaac. I searched high and low to find another word in the world that has the combination SC, like Isaac does, or SK. In Hebrew, Yitzhak. YITZHAK or YITSKHAWK in Strong's Concordance, phonetically spelled. End bracket. The same letter combination found in Isaac, that SC, in other words, the only two consonants in the name Isaac are S and C. I, S, A, A, C. The other three letters are vowels. They can be discarded. We only have the S and C in Isaac. And that same letter combination is seen in Scandinavia, the word. Scandinavia. And any other explanation for these SK or SC letter combinations is besought, but is unknown. So Scandinavia, it came from the Scythians who migrated north to Scandinavia, as a side note to what we're saying here. But that's not in the article. But continuing our reading, in quotes, the word or name Isaac is thus, quote, father sky, end quote, the father of Jacob, in brackets, Cronus. So father sky, who's the father of Cronus, and that father sky is also called Uranus, right? He's the god who's the father of Cronus, the god. But so is Isaac, the father of Jacob in the Bible. It fits perfectly again, where sky is formed from Isaac, Y-S-A-A-K, and the word sky, S-K-Y. By simply removing the two A's from Y-S-A-A-K, and moving the Y to the end of the word. Isn't that phenomenal? It's astonishing, is it not? Considering the differences in languages, it is truly a miracle, I write. Joseph's grandmother is Rebecca. Another family member, similar to Rebecca or Bega. And the name Bega is mentioned in some of my other earlier articles. That's why I mentioned it there. For example, it's mentioned in Harald Hildetand and also Skjoldings. The name Bega was a name given as the name of the identified Jewish ancestors or people that were discussed in those articles that were not necessarily related to what we're talking about here, but that's where the name Bega occurred, and that's why I mention it here. That Rebecca is similar to that name Bega. It's actually probably the same name. But Rebecca is a descendant of Terah. Right? Because Terah is the father of Abraham. So Rebecca is a descendant of Terah, because she was the daughter of Laban, was she not? But Laban was from that same family of Terah. Terah had sons, one of whom was Abraham, and Laban was a descendant son of one of the other sons of Terah. So Rebecca is a descendant of Terah, and we can go into that, you know, all we want, but we just don't have time to do everything today. But that's been done. It's in the Bible. Rebecca, we could look it up right now, but I think we should just continue reading and then maybe come back after. Just as her husband Isaac is a descendant of Terah also, right? Through Abraham, Isaac was a descendant of Terah. And Abraham had his son Isaac, and Isaac married Rebekah, who was also from that same family line of Terah. Poseidon's grandmother is Gaia, corresponding to this name Bega. Gaia, Bega, or Rebekah, Gaia, because the Gaia would be the G, which is so, you know, critical to that name, Gaia. And also to the name Bega, that G, or the K in Rebecca, or the C in Rebecca. Also, the G is the operative letter there. The R part of Rebecca is not as critical, and the B part of Bega is not as critical as the G. it would seem it's the most, because it's a double G in the name Bega, that the letter G occurs twice. So we could say that Gaia is the same name as Bega, but we don't have to, because Gaia is called by the Greeks, quote, Mother Earth, end quote. Gaia, Mother Earth. Strangely enough, that Greek goddess, Gaia, okay, being called Mother Earth means that the letters of the word Earth, E-A-R-T-H, are the letters of, quote-unquote, Tera, T-E-R-A-H, rearranged. The letters of Earth and Tera are identical letters, just rearranged. Wow, I write. So much for the ancestral basis. We even got a correspondence to Poseidon's grandmother, who was called Mother Earth. Because the letters of the name Earth, the word that is the name for a planet, is also they're the same letters as the letters of the name Tera. That's unbelievable correspondence. It's just isn't it magnificent? It's so unexpected and miraculous. There's no explanation for it rationally. Obviously, it's not possible that it could have corresponded. You wouldn't think, but let's go to the Bible. Let's look up Rebecca now and see what we see about Rebecca. You could find Rebecca by looking at, if we know our Bibles, we go to the book of Genesis, right? We go where Isaac first met his wife. Where would that be? I'm just guessing here. Somewhere around. Wow, we're getting close. Genesis, I started in around 23, then I went 25, 30, now I've gone to 28. And so we're getting close. It's around Genesis 27. Isaac was old in 27. So Rebecca, let's look her up. We'll look at it again some other day. I think we're not going to find it here. Yeah, we're out of time. So it's February 3rd, 2025 of the Common Era. The time is 20:55 hours, Canadian Eastern Time. Thank you so much for joining us again today, listening or watching, and I love you very much. In my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star, saying bye for now. We covered a number of paragraphs in the article Joseph and Owen today, once again ending with the ancestral basis for the correspondence of Joseph to Poseidon. Wow, that was incredible. So that's 34, 30, maybe that was paragraph 35.